That was Toddie Smith, ladies and gentlemen. Todd, what was the name of that incredible tune you just played us?
You know, there's no name to that except just pure bliss.
Was that a freestyle?
I was freestyling. I chose a sound on the Nord.
It sounded like something out of like a Softie Brothers film, like Good Time or Uncut Gems.
Hey, thank you.
Dude, I really enjoyed that.
Actually, that one means a lot.
Well, Todd, come have a seat.
Okay. I'm sitting down in this new room. Looks beautiful thanks to you guys, you and Mike.
I know it's coming along. We're getting some drapes. We have the curtain rod already set up. We have a canvas that's on its way. We're trying to figure ways to soundproof this room. On the table right now, we have a towel because that's like the closest thing to like muffling any echoes that we get. But and we have glasses of wine. Cheers. Todd.
Happy Friday.
It's not Friday. It's Wednesday.
Excuse me. It's Wine Wednesday.
Wine Wednesday. There we go.
Wine Wednesday. So I've been itching. I've been asking these guys every day to get on this podcast, and you guys finally let me on.
That is a lie, Todd.
Thank you. You
were the hardest person to pin down and get in here.
Which is surprising, considering you live in the same roof, under the same roof.
Yeah, I obviously love you guys. I just had like this weird, since I live with you.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to stay away from the podcast for some reason. Which, I mean, I know it's going to be fine, but yeah. I had like this like weird thing.
No, like, I kind of feel like the same way because we are kind of so comfortable with each other and totally. We spend a lot of time together. I was a little like kind of nervous too. I'm like, well, what are we going to talk about? I'm just so used to talking with Todd, but maybe this is going to be really easy and this will be a good conversation.
No, yeah. Also too, cause like I see you guys as like obviously two of my best friends, close friends, and then I vent to a lot and you guys know a lot of my problems that I have. And you give me advice.
Yeah.
And so, I mean.
Well, we're not going to bring up any dirt. Just.
Oh, no, that's fine.
The name of this podcast is A Hoot and a Half. It's all about having a good time, learning something, laughing something.
Cool.
Yeah.
Todd, how's your hip doing? I know your hip's been bothering you.
Yeah, so it's my sciatic nerve in my left leg, in my left glute. And it's been bothering me for about 2.5 months. And I do not wish this pain on my second, third worst enemies because it is fucking painful. Like it shoots down my hamstring to my calf, almost to my toes. And when I wake up, it's super stiff. When it first started happening, I thought it was a hamstring injury. I'm like, I can power through this. And then all of a sudden, fucking just.
It's like a shooting pain or is it a constant pain?
It's a shooting pain.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad is it?
It could be a 10 sometimes.
What is it right now?
Right now, it's like a 7. It like locked up when I was like walking up here. But like when it first started happening, getting in and out of the car, I would yell and scream. Because it was just so painful getting out or getting out of the car. Even like getting out of bed the first like couple like week or two hurt.
And do you feel like it's been getting better though with all of your physical
therapy?
Yeah.
No, like it's been getting a lot better. I've been going to acupuncture. I went to the chiropractor. I did cryo with Jeff. I went to like this specialist who literally just squeezed my legs and muscles for 45 minutes. And I had a stride because before I saw him, I couldn't like walk correctly.
Wow.
And he like corrected me completely. It was great. And then but it came back a couple days later.
But it's just like 45 minutes of pain and then you feel better afterwards.
45 minutes of pain. I'm laying on my side, breathing, taking deep breaths in, and I wanted to challenge myself to like not lock my muscles up, you know, cuz when like you're feeling pain, like you tense up, right?
Yeah, you want to resist.
And so I've been really working on like my like not mind control, but like being able to control my body like with my brain, right? Mind over matter. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I would take deep breaths. I can cryo too. If it gets too cold, take a deep breath. Picture yourself somewhere else. And so with this guy, the first time I went, I was just like, my muscles were really tense and I couldn't relax all the way. And so like this last time I went, I was able to like calm myself and really relax my muscles, which was like, I was super happy afterwards. But like in cryo, it's obviously freezing cold and you're just shivering the whole time. Last time I went, I really tried my hardest to like picture myself like somewhere else and it worked. And I wasn't shivering, which was like,
oh, whoa.
I was
just
really
like get through the shock of
yeah.
it.
Totally, yeah.
You transcend through it.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, working out your body is a good way to work out your mind too.
Yeah.
Just realizing that, yeah, sure, you can sit in a room and think for 12 hours a day or read as many books as you want. But if you don't physically put yourself into a situation where you need to test the mind over matter, you're never going to know if you can do it.
100%. And that goes with working out too. And like getting your heart rate up and getting your blood flowing. I think if you're just sitting in a room for hours, I think it's great. But if you're not working out and exercising that brain, it's not going to like, you know, benefit you. Cause like it's really important just to get outside and get a sweat going. And like you're exercising for your brain not your body, actually.
Yeah. And having those endorphins carrying you throughout the rest of your day. After you work out and you put in that sweat, you just glow through everything you do.
You feel so good. I used to work out for my body and for like sports and looks, but it's really for your brain.
Yeah. Right?
And for your peace of mind.
So I hope the wine, though, is helping with just numb the pain just a little bit.
That's why I'm drinking it.
And you just came from shooting your sketch, Clowder Banks.
Yeah. So it's a series. I had this. I think it's a great idea. We'll see how it turns out. But I had this idea. I love the show Outer Banks. It was like a, what do you call it? Like
a parody?
A parody.
No, sorry.
Guilty Pleasure.
Guilty Pleasure.
Yeah.
So Outer Banks was my guilty pleasure. I really liked it a lot. And I wanted to make something like it. So I thought, I'm like, oh, Outer Banks, Clowder Banks. We're in LA.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's all about the clout.
All about the clout. So like the kids were chasing this treasure, and like in my series, we're gonna be chasing clout. So I wanna like play, like I don't wanna give too much away, but I wanna play John B. Jeff's playing JJ. Scott's there, Jonah's involved, Jason's involved, and you know, hopefully Matt will get him in there too as a little frat kid.
Me?
Yeah.
A frat kid?
Yeah.
You think like I can like embody that role pretty well?
I think you can body many roles, but I think if you played like one of like the fraternity kids, it'd be great.
Oh,
it'd be so
please.
Funny.
Yeah, make me really pretentious and like smarmy. Exactly. I feel like I can embody that.
Wear like
well.
A pink polo.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go to Harvard.
With like the sweater tied around the neck.
Yeah. Just like that frat boy look.
How's it been working with Jeff and Jonah and Jason? Have they been easy to get along with? Is everyone coming prepared?
Yeah, no. Jeff is probably my favorite person to work with, like when we're doing anything but like scripted stuff, because I think we have pretty good chemistry and it's always fun with him, and we always improv and make it weird, but we make it work. Working with Jonah, I think he's hilarious. Actually, like I was giving him direction before we started filming, and we didn't have much time, and I went over like this improv with him and like kind of like marks the hit and the action, and he kind of took it in like his own direction.
A little bit of improvisation.
Yeah, it's not like ending really. Yeah, it's just like Michael Scott, FBI.
No, totally. with that, we couldn't like get. We had to get to a certain part with his scene. And it took a little bit to get there, but we got there eventually. But it's just like
similar to like Curb Your Enthusiasm, where there's a point that the actors need to get to via improvising. But it sounds like Jonah maybe took a little bit longer than
100%.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, but it was great. He's great. Jason is also another great guy to work with because he's been doing it for so long, and he's so fucking funny.
Oh my god!
Like it's hard not to laugh.
Oh, he's a genius. You know, you can just let him take the wheel.
Yeah.
And he spends any scene like directly to where it needs to go.
Yeah,
when I hang out with Jason, I feel like I'm hanging out with someone of the level of like a Conan O'Brien or
totally. So
someone that just has that capacity to be funny as he is, as quickly as is, and consistently.
And it's because he's put in so much of the sweat work of comedic acting training, really. Like all of his days doing improv and stand-up comedy. It's just an instinct with him.
Totally, yeah. And like, and whenever I'm with him, I feel like I kind of like have to be not on, but I feel like it's
you
a good,
want to
it's
be
a good
on.
Thing. I want to be on.
Yeah,
and I go back and forth with him. So, and then Scott was there. Whenever I get Scott out of the house and like wanting to do something, and he's excited, that like excites me, you know. So he was like, he was happy to be there, and he was great. So it's been fun so far. The first episode has taken quite a long time.
This is you're still shooting the first episode.
Still shooting the first episode. Oh. We have one more thing. I have to do a voiceover tomorrow, but we shot like some like cool, really cool car sunset scenes.
Do you know when it's gonna come out?
Hopefully, maybe next Friday.
Okay,
before the end of August.
Oh,
for sure.
Oh, excited! All right, awesome. Yeah. Then this will be right before it, I guess. Okay, cool. Yeah. So, guys, look out for Clowder Banks. Did you ever take any improv classes?
No, I took two acting classes here in LA. I went to Anthony Mindel, who's fucking terrific, and Leslie Kahn.
Oh, I've heard of Leslie Kahn.
Leslie Kahn was pretty intense.
Is she Liza's coach?
I don't know.
Oh. Is that an acting coach or improv coach?
She's an acting coach. They're both acting, yeah.
How many classes did you take doing that?
So Leslie Kahn was like a 2-week intense class of like, but it was really cool because it was sitcom.
Oh, but, that's right.
Bro,
okay,
and that sitcom acting, props to like Friends,
Seinfeld.
How I Met Your Mother, Seinfeld, like that four cameras, like sitcom acting is fucking hard.
Why? What makes it
it's
hard?
It's just like there's so many ups and downs. You have to hit each mark on your line. And if you don't hit, you fuck it up.
Yeah.
Like each scene, each fucking sentence matters.
And where you're standing in the scene, where you're looking, like you need to hit.
It's a bit like a play, yeah. You know, yeah. Like everything has to flow in like a good take.
You got
to
hit it, like you got to hit like the highs and the lows, like a lot of highs, obviously.
Yeah,
it's right. Like, right. But it's like props to Friends for doing it for 10 years and doing it well.
Do you remember when we had to film your audition for a sitcom?
Yeah.
Do you remember the show?
Fuller House.
Fuller House.
You auditioned for Fuller House?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Isn't Josh on that now?
With Josh Peck?
Peck, yeah.
I don't think he's on Fuller House.
I think he might be. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's had a guest appearance. But, I remember when you got the call to audition for Fuller House, and Zane and I had to film Todd. And the scene was, I think, with, I don't know, what's her name?
One of the daughters, right? Yeah.
One of the daughters, but she was now an adult,
yeah.
And she wants to get into the dating scene. Do you remember your character?
Was it a boyfriend or like?
You were a social media star.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a blind date,
yeah.
And you were playing essentially
a social media, yeah, okay. Like an Instagram.
So
guy.
He's like hashtag post it.
Oh my god!
And she's just like trying to keep up with him. And I'll never forget like the final line of the entire scene, which is like the most sitcom line. Is he's like, so Todd goes hashtag post it. She goes hashtag what was I thinking?
Oh yeah, Matt went over to hashtag what was I thinking.
Oh man. So you were doing the sides for him like while he was on tape?
Matt was coaching me through it. Matt and Zane.
Wow. But did you get the part?
I did not get the part.
Do we know who did?
No, I don't even know if that episode aired. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they just made up a character.
Yeah, those audition scenes. Yeah, or they'll give you just like a character that's not going to be in a show or the scene that's not going to be in a show, but they just want to see your range, how you look on screen. And
yeah. Good experience.
A good experience and a great exercise to do.
I actually had a lot of self-tapes like during that time. Like so many self-tapes. Mm. I got like one callback, but that was it.
But now you're producing your own show. You have your own audience. You don't need to worry about the approval of any agency or director or anything. You get to do it yourself.
Exactly. That's what like with everything going on with COVID, things like shutting down like shows, the production is a little more difficult.
Things are grinding to a halt.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I'm so thankful to have my platforms and like my channel, my audience. And I have the ability to make my own show and to act and write in my own show, which is it's so cool.
Oh, yeah. I count my blessings every day. Yeah. It breaks my heart. All of these actors and comedians and improv troupe people out here in LA who are having to go home. A lot of actors in LA right now are moving to Atlanta because that's just where it's more affordable to live.
Oh,
and there's a huge movie scene out there because it's cheaper to shoot films. Yeah. So now let's take it back. To young Todd from Huntington.
Yeah, from Huntington Beach, California.
You pronounce it Huntington, not Huntington.
Yeah, the T's kind of like silent.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
How you, that's how you can tell who's not really from there, correct?
Yeah.
I was worried when I said it out loud.
Yeah,
I saw you like
Huntington.
Yeah, no. No, were you a theater kid growing up? It's so funny because I know you so well and I have to ask these questions like, I don't really know you that well.
So, Todd, were you a theater kid growing up?
But I think these are the interesting things on
who you are, where
people came from, how they got their start, what were they like as a kid?
I was really close with my family. I mean, still am. My cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents. Didn't do any theater as a kid. I wrote, but not like, I wrote as a hobby. But growing up, I surfed, played hockey, and I wrestled. And I played sports, and I got bored of sports. Like so I played a bunch of different sports like in middle school, like football, soccer, all like everything.
Like sports, but ADD, you just kept switching up. I don't want to do this. I want to try that.
100%. I would get so bored of these sports. Like I played hockey my whole life. That's my favorite sport. And I love playing that. And then I wrestled in high school. I was really good. But then I quit wrestling to focus on hockey because I got bored of wrestling, you know? And so I was just like one of those, like, I mean, I wasn't like.
Got to keep it moving. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And like in high school, I wasn't like running with a popular crowd at all. I was like kind of like this dork, walked around with a hoodie on, cutting weight all the time for wrestling, big backpack. I was like 105 pounds my freshman and sophomore year.
Big backpack?
Huge backpack.
What does that mean?
Is it one of the rolly ones that also had the straps on it?
I didn't have the rolly ones. I had a fucking meaty backpack.
Like a mountain hiking bag almost.
It almost looked like that, but I had like my friends were like, oh, Todd, that skinny kid with a sweatshirt and a huge backpack just walking around school. Like, yeah, it was me. I mean, I kept to myself. I didn't really party or like do much until like end of my senior year and like then after high school maybe. My first drink was with my aunt when I was like 17.
Oh,
yeah.
What was the drink?
Smirnoff Ice. Go figure.
It's always a Smirnoff Ice. That's your first one. Yeah, yeah. Mine was like a Bud Light Lime. Yeah.
One of those nice drinks to get down.
Mike, what was your first drink?
It was a Blue Moon with my uncle in New York when I was like 18 or 19. Nice.
Blue Moon was like the first beer that. That was my favorite.
It was my favorite,
too. It was
just so
easy to go down. Yeah. It tasted kind of like a beer.
I can't tell you how many times Scott and I ordered a Blue Moon.
Oh, it's such a good starter drink when you first get into drinking and like you don't want to get an IPA or some weird craft beer. And
But your first drink was a Smirnoff Ice.
It was Smirnoff Ice.
With your aunt?
With my aunt,
Did your aunt give it to you and say?
Yeah. I was with her and my cousins and they were all drinking. So I just had a Smirnoff Ice with them. But yeah, growing up, I was really close with my cousins. Always like they're my best friends, hanging out with them. And so always doing like cool family trips to the river and whatnot, you know, getting into trouble.
You're still a family guy. You go back pretty often.
Yeah.
See your sister, graduation, parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not from Huntington. It's not very far. It's like an hour and a half away from here. So I have the luxury.
I envy that convenience of it.
Being able to go there.
Love to zip down and see my family anytime I can. And you also grew up with Scott.
Yeah.
Right? So we heard Scott's story about how you two met, but we would love to hear it through your own mouth, not eyes, I guess.
Yeah, so Scott and I, we both went to elementary, middle school, and high school together. But we didn't start hanging out. Like, we started wrestling. He was a freshman. I was a sophomore. Started wrestling. I was kicking his ass. And
he told us the other story. Yeah. He said that he was kicking your ass.
Oh, he, like, took steroids. When he was senior. But we didn't start hanging out till like, his senior year. We kind of, like, started partying. And then that's when we started partying. We would go like hours away to go to like random parties.
Yeah.
And we'd fucking just drive down in his little truck. I remember like one time someone was driving his truck home and Scott's pissing out the window on the passenger seat. And he's just fucking just coming back and hitting him.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And so, you were like, I got to be friends with this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He is out there.
That's the same time he was getting tattooed by our friend. And that's why he has the sleeve because he covered those tattoos up.
Were you getting tatted around the same time Scott was by this guy?
I got one tattoo from that guy, but Scott.
Which tattoo was it?
It says CK with a heart around it. It's on my hip, and Scott got like CK on somewhere on
his
body.
CK? Not your ex girlfriend?
No. It stands for.
Oh, jeez.
No.
Right, not my mom, Cindy King.
Or could it be?
Hope you're enjoying this episode. We're just going to take a quick break to give a word from our sponsors. This episode of Hoot and a Half is brought to you by Care Of. Care Of is a wellness brand that makes it easy for you to maintain your health goals with a customized vitamin plan that helps you feel your best today and supports you long term. What I love about Care Of is how hassle-free it is. It's basically vitamins and supplements delivered to you, and it can make taking your vitamins and supporting your health goals attainable. And not only that, Care Of vitamins are quality you can see and taste. Their products are formulated with good-for-you, clean ingredients that are backed by science. And it's health made easy thanks to Care Of's online quiz. They have a 5-minute online quiz that asks you questions about your diet, lifestyle, and health concerns to help address your specific wellness goals. And coming from my own personal experience with Care Of, I have really enjoyed the product. The quiz was super fun and easy, and my experience has been through the roof. I love knowing that the vitamins I'm getting are tailored to my needs, and that makes me just feel really great about myself and my overall health. So if you would like to support this show and you are interested in Care Of, for 50% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter the code HOOT. 50. Once again, for 50% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code HOOT50. That's H-O-O-T 50. And now back to the episode. Okay, so then you started hanging around with Scott. Did you guys go to college together?
Yeah, so Scott and I, we started hanging out. He would, we were both bartending at the time. He was working at his stepdad's bar. I was working at this Italian place, and I would get off work earlier than him, and I'd cruise to his bar, and he'd be there till midnight, and we started making vines in his bar because it was just empty all the time. And like there was vines, like we'd make the vines in his kitchen, in the bar, on the bar, like outside, like everywhere, like around that place.
Just having a good time.
Just having a good time. We would just like literally hang out there and talk and then make vines.
Is he giving you a homies discount, getting free drinks?
Yeah. I would go there, drink, eat.
Yes.
Yeah. And
so it's like the place to be.
Yeah, I mean, I was like pretty much like the only one there sometimes. I swear, it was like dead sometimes. But that's where we sort of first started like posting his vines, and Scott like started like kind of like taking off on Vine, you know? And so, and then from there, he went to OCC, Orange Coast College, for a little bit and then stopped because he was fucking Vine famous. But, and then I went to a state school and I finished that in 2016. And so when I moved to LA, I was still going to school and I moved in with Zane, Heath, Scott, Elton. And it was like my own like little frat house, right?
Right.
And so I'm in my room studying and writing my thesis paper and they're fucking just partying, going to bed like at 4 a.m, waking up late.
This is the Bellingham days?
No, this is Denny.
Oh, wait. Oh, the Denny days. This is the Denny days. Sorry. Yeah. I always get Denny and Bellingham like flip-flopped. And you were in college during that time. Then,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you're living in like a college off-campus house trying to get work done and you're living with crazy Vine LA party kids.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's how it was. I remember I was like trying to go to bed many nights because I had to wake up early for school. And they were just fucking right outside my door. Just like
I probably was there too. Yeah.
Smoking cigs, drinking beers, fucking being loud.
Just
like,
having people over, playing music.
Yeah. And then at that time too, I had no money. I had like $100 in my bank account. I was barely able to pay rent. I had to borrow money from my mom one time. I remember I was in my room. I had the only lock on my door because I like went out and got it. And it was like this shit lock. And I was in my room like just fucking like kind of like crying.
Yeah.
I had no money.
And all your friends that you're living with are living the dream a foot away from you.
Kind of. It
was still like a weird time where we were still like freshmen to the game.
Scott was like in the master bedroom. He was still like making decent money. And like my door was locked. He got it open somehow. He picked the lock. I'm like on the phone with my mom, like crying. He's like, oh. I'm like, remember that moment specifically because I was like a really low moment in my life and career. And my mom, like, she let me borrow money for rent. And I'm like, okay, this last time. And she let me borrow money for like 3 months probably.
Wow.
Oh, man.
But actually, let me rewind. When I first moved into the Denny house, I agreed not having enough money for rent. I went to Vegas with my friend's dad, Darren, my writing partner.
Yes.
His family. His dad is the kindest human in the world. So generous. He gave me $200. He's like, here you go. I would go parlay. It was during football season.
Uh-huh.
I parlayed on 3 NFL teams and 1 college team. And they all won by a certain amount. They all hit the numbers. And I won like $800.
You bet the full 200 on it.
I bet the full 200. And I won $800 on this parlay.
Woo!
And I remember I was like in downtown Vegas where life is beautiful. And I started just freaking out. I started just yelling, jumping up, and I started fucking just making like this big commotion because I won money to pay my rent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You won the lottery.
I'm like able to pay my rent. Not like 2 weeks later, we already moved in. Elton is like, hey, Red Bull wants us to go out to Vegas, and they're gonna pay for everything, give us a hotel room. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm playing on one of the last nights. I'm playing roulette with Heath and Zane and Scott and everybody. And again, I had no money. I needed to pay rent somehow. I'm like not even thinking about that, but I had no money. And fucking, I'm like sitting there and Heath's like, hey, you want a chip?
Oh,
I'm like,
boy.
Okay, sure. He gives me a $25 chip. I put it on 23 red. It fucking hits 23
Michael
red.
Michael Jordan on the Bulls, man.
And then 2 turns later, I put it on 21 red and I hit it again.
Oh, shut my God. God.
Swear to God, yeah.
How much money did you make?
I was like 16, like maybe a little less than 1600.
Oh, damn. Yeah, like another sure. another
yeah.
month of rent. Oh,
yeah, so God. I was able to pay for rent again. Like,
wow.
That. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. But that's the best feeling, but it's also kind of the worst way when you do win in Vegas where you're like, oh, I paid my rent with these winnings.
This is maybe sustainable to be a gambler.
Yeah.
I was walking on like a tightrope for a while. Like I was struggling and I was working in Huntington too. I was driving from the Denny house to school, to my parents' house, because that's where my work was. I would stay there a couple nights, come back, but then I would like plan it out. I'd go from my parents' house to school, back to the Denny house, because school was right in between my parents' house and LA.
Now, so during this time, though, did you think that the internet career would be an option, or were you doubtful? Even though like Scott was already making money doing it, did you think, yeah, that's awesome, but I'm focused on school right now. I need this degree to get me to the next step, whatever that may be.
I had like this like dream and I was just like manifesting. I'm like, okay, I'm going to make it as an actor, or I'm going to somehow get like a big break in this internet thing and I'm going to make some money. I remember one day I got like an email from this company. They're like, hey, American Eagle wants to work with you. They're going to pay you $10,000. I'm like, what the fuck?
I think that's Vegas. I was part of that campaign.
I think you're taking pictures with me, right?
Uh-huh.
Or,
Or I definitely did an American Eagle campaign around that year.
And this was for Vine, right?
No, for Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then Zane took the photos, and they're fucking fire photos. They're beautiful. The photos were like, look, they look professional. I went all out. And then, yeah, I got that money, and I quit my job. And then I never looked back from there.
Yeah, that was the same thing I did.
Yeah.
Like, right when I realized I could make money, I, like, quit my full-time job and did it, you know, full force.
I had to. For, like, 5 or 6 months, I was living in L.A. and working in Huntington. It was just, like, I was driving so much, and I was never home in my house that I was semi-paying for.
Yeah, you were driving back to Huntington, like, every weekend,
to work,
right?
Yeah, to barely make money.
Yeah.
And so I remember, like, even, like, I would go out to the bars in Huntington, my best friends, I had no money for drinks. And my friends would have to pay for my drinks. I was just like, it was like, it's like the most defeating thing ever.
Were you, the first time we met though, were you able to afford drinks or during that time, were you pinching pennies? I guess
I was pinching pennies. I don't think I was living in LA either then.
Do you remember where we met?
We met at Brickyard.
Yes, no, Brickyard Pub, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you like really fucking tickled my feathers. No, yeah. One thing that really tickles my feathers is when someone says they like my art or they like my writing. And Matt came up to me, he's like, dude, I love your captions.
Your Instagram captions.
His Instagram captions were very good and like very original. Like, you know, a lot of people will be like, oh, at the beach, getting some vitamin D.
Right.
Like,
vitamin C, SEA.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Like people will just do like
punny Instagram captions.
But Todd's captions, I just thought were like kind of pure poetry or really unique sentences that he would like put together.
Because you'd write like paragraphs and like more original writing. You would almost like tell a story underneath.
100%. I wanted to tell a story because I don't think looks... Let's see. How do I say this? Looks aren't... I would get judged... Like, I was, like, developing after high school, and people would judge me by my looks.
Oh, I was judging you by your looks, too. Yeah. And that's why I was so blown away with your creativity and your self-expression, because, you know, you see this handsome dude that's Todd Smith, and you're like, who is this smiley, fit, stud of a man? And I would, like, read his captions, and I'm like, there's a brilliant mind behind this guy, and I hadn't met you.
So you'd like seen him in the same circles. I knew who he was.
Yeah, because I would like see Scott on Instagram, and I wasn't really close with Scott, but I'm like, oh, who's that Todd kid I always see in his vines? And then I would like check out your Instagram, and I would read your captions, and back then you had like blue hair.
Yes.
And so the first time you met him,
I would write up to him, and I was like, you're Todd. And I said, first thing I said, it was like, dude, your captions are like really unique. They're like art, man. And I actually found the Instagram of like the caption that I felt was like really unique.
Oh, let's hear it. Let's describe the photo first.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this may be in your book too. Do you have any of your old captions in your book?
I have a bunch of my
book?
Old captions that I turned into stories.
Can you describe the photo too?
He said, the photo is just like Todd hanging out on a balcony with one of his buddies. I think you have like a Chipotle burrito
it's
in
like
your hand.
Purple hair, right?
And I think you have brown hair in this one.
Okay.
And your caption was, I only ate the red Skittles. My pickiness was a little much. Every so often, I like to toss her favorite colors into the ocean. The sunset made it worth my while. Her expensive taste was much. Like, it's like a really great,
thanks,
like,
dude.
Would you call that a poem?
It's something possibly more than an Instagram caption.
Yeah.
You took the medium of Instagram captions and elevated it into a storytelling platform.
Yeah, and I love doing that. I had like a real like drive to do it. But also, what Matt just said, what he saw, like, he saw me as like this like smiley kid, and then he read the captions, whatever, right?
Right.
It was my validation.
Yeah.
That you're more than just your looks.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. That's what I was looking for, what Matt just said. That's what I was like looking for when I was writing these. I was seeking this validation. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. I think that's kind of like a little like,
it's a motivating factor.
It's very motivating, yeah. But it's not the best like trait to have. Like, oh, you shouldn't be just motivated by this.
Right.
But I was motivated by multiple things, but that was one of the major aspects
and when Matt gives a compliment, you can tell it's genuine and heartfelt.
Yes.
It comes from a truthful place.
Yeah, when I say something, I mean it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I can't help myself saying what I feel about somebody, especially if I really, really like what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that's the time we like really connected. I remember
Appreciate
that.
It,
good times.
Yeah, I remember the first time me and you were hanging out. This is probably like 2016 or 2017. We went to the bungalow and it was just me and you. We showed up on like a Sunday afternoon or something. And then Todd came and I see Todd just in the crowd. It was like in the movies where there's a spotlight from the heavens directly on someone. You were just sort of like moving through the crowd. And I was just like, oh my God, there's like a famous person here. A Hollywood actor is walking through. And then you came up and was like, oh, what's up, Matt? And I was like, you know this guy? Who is this handsome?
No.
Dude, I promise you, I thought you were like a movie star. I just couldn't even deal with like how handsome you were in person.
You are the most photogenic person.
It was crazy.
I know. And the thing is, though, you're so photogenic, I need to stop taking photos of you because I have too many photos of Todd. I'm like, God, I'm not taking enough photos of
like
other people.
Like when we made the Super 8 video last year, we were like, we have too much Todd because he just films you and photographs you all the time.
Yeah, it's so funny. And even right now, I have two rolls of Super 8 film developed and the footage looks awesome. But I'm like, oh, I gotta record a little bit more, but I can't film Todd because I have too much footage of
you. That's
so
funny.
You have plenty of it. Oh, and but
so you are definitely a handsome dude, and I can see that that's a factor where people just have seen you your whole life as just a face and a body and
totally,
nothing
yeah.
else behind it. But yeah, but that's an interesting way to like look at a reason for why you are as motivated as you are, and mm-hmm. you know.
And another reason why I love Todd. We're just making this like a whole moment.
We love Todd. Everybody loves Todd.
Todd, one of the best qualities about you is that you're constantly enriching yourself and diving into areas that you're curious about. It goes with your acting, your writing, and now witnessing you as a roommate, your ability to play and make music. And it's been really cool. Like you take not only piano lessons religiously, you take guitar lessons on top of that.
Thank you.
You've like, written a book. You've been on tour. Mm-hmm. You have a YouTube channel. You do photography. I consider you like the Renaissance man of mm-hmm. of the friend group here.
Now, tell me your process getting into music, because it's tough to get into it if you didn't grow up with it.
Totally. Yeah. That's been like the toughest part. I don't kick myself every day. I'm like, God damn it. Like, why didn't I stick to guitar lessons when my parents put me in them? I quit. I was over it. But actually, I think it was like 3 years ago. I'm a huge 21 Pilots fan. That's known. And so Tyler Joseph, he just amazes me with everything. He inspires me to write, to play piano. And so one day, I remember Jason, he's like, oh yeah, I got to take my kids a piano lesson. I'm like, oh, your kids have a teacher. He's like, yeah. I'm like, and then I grabbed the number and I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to take piano lessons. I can afford it now. I have some time. I want to fucking do this. Like the time is now.
Yeah.
And so I went and I never looked back from taking piano lessons. I do it once a week for a while. I was doing it twice a week before I went on tour with Scott. I just love it so much.
You know what's funny? Today, I actually went back and I listened to the podcast episode of you, Brandon Calvillo, and Rye Dune. And it was like recorded in 2017. And because I just wanted to get a sense of you like on a podcast before we sat down. I only listened to a bit of it. And in the podcast, you're like, yeah, I just started piano lessons. I just had like my third lesson today. Yeah. So and I'm like, wow, it's crazy. Because now that's like,
I think I was over your house one time playing guitar and you were just like, God, I just wish I could play an instrument. And I was just like, mm-hmm. you can. Just take lessons. And then I think it was like literally the next week you had started taking lessons. There was like this universal coalescence to just push you into doing
this. I would watch you play. And like someone like Kobe Bryant inspires me too, just like his mentality. I heard a story that he wanted to learn a classical song and he didn't play piano, but he didn't get up from the piano until he learned that song. And he was motivated to learn that song. And so that's why I look at it. I want to like tackle this thing. I want to like own this thing. I want to be good. And it's still tough. I mean, learning something at 26 years old, your brain is not a sponge like it used to be. Like a kid.
Yeah.
It's fucking tough. And so like sometimes I want to fucking kick that thing over. Like today, I was exhausted, like learning a song. I was having a lesson over FaceTime and I'm like, fuck this. But then I went back after like an hour later, I played and it was just like, it was so nice. It's like very therapeutic for me. Like I'll sit down for like, okay, I'm going to sit down for 20 minutes. I'll be sitting down for 2.5-3 hours. That's what 20 minutes
turns
into.
It just sucks you in.
It just sucks me in, yeah.
Because
you want to get better and better and better. And it's just so,
it's endless. It's
infinite. Joy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me not just happy, but it provides joy in my life.
Yeah, that's like me with the New York Times crossword.
Right. Yeah, which I've seen, which is fucking so cool.
Oh, like, I know the rush you get once you finally figure it out.
Exactly. It's like that serotonin, right?
Or
like
dopamine. Yes.
Serotonin just like goes to your brain and like, what you need.
Yeah. I like the word that you use, enrich. I think that's a very apt term for how Todd lives his life, because when you dive into one of these things, whether it's the music or the writing or the filmmaking, anything that you dedicate your time to, it pays you back in dividends. For example, you had a certain musical taste that you used to have before you played music.
Yeah.
And in the last 2 or 3 years, like one of my favorite things is getting to share music with you. And I have a lot of weird music tastes, or things of that you will most likely only be interested in if you play an instrument, but your level of appreciation for music now, I think, has
elevated,
expanded so much more. So enriching your life, I think, is the perfect word to describe what you've been doing.
Yeah.
Has it been harder learning how to play the guitar than the piano, or is the guitar coming easier to you now that you know how to play the piano?
Okay, so pros and cons. When I first started learning...
What's so funny?
That's a fun... I like the analytical breakdown of this.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed that. So before I started taking lessons, or right when I started taking lessons, Mike was showing me some things.
Sorry. I was just like, what's so funny? Because you asked a very serious question, and Todd took it very seriously. Yeah, like sidled up to the microphone. Like, let me break this down for everybody.
Yeah, it's like inside the actor's studio.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. But it's funny that it's just like you're asking Todd, so piano and guitar. And he goes, okay, here are the pros and cons.
Okay, pros and cons.
I'm a rookie at both, more guitar. So I would say guitar has been harder for me. But the cool thing about learning piano before guitar and some musical theory is I know where a lot of the chords are. So wherever, like I like say, like for instance, at the top of the guitar, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, E, right? So after E, I know there's F, then F sharp, then G, then G sharp, A. So I know where those chords are once I find the first chord in the guitar.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And I know different notes. I know C through B or C through C.
It's similar, I played the violin when I was in sixth grade, and I can remember, like, there's the G string, D string, A string, E string, and so I remember it's like, you know, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, it's like D, D, A, A, B, B, A,
it's
G, G, F sharp, E, E, and then I learned where those notes were on the piano, and now I'm able to play it, but I don't know chords, really. Mm-hmm. I know the notes on the piano versus the violin. So
Difference is mostly a physical difference. Like, the theoretical stuff is the same between both instruments, but I think it's a lot physically harder to learn how to play the guitar.
I think so a little bit, too. The piano, I like it's laid out in a nice fashion.
Yeah.
Guitar, there's, with those strings and the frets, and there's so many little...
And the strumming. Yeah. It's a down, up, down.
It's a lot more totally physical. Yeah. It's a lot more physical.
What's been giving me a hard time on the guitar is B minor.
The key of B minor?
The chord of B minor has been giving me a fucking... You know, but yeah, no, I love it. Like, piano is more... I take it seriously, and guitar is more like my hobby and release.
A question I've actually always wanted to ask you. When you started playing the piano, did you have Scott's music career in mind?
No.
Did you know that it was going to turn into the tour life and being part of his band? Or did you just treat it strictly as a hobby and that this is just something I want to...
So I treated it strictly as a hobby. I started taking lessons for myself. But back when we were like 20, 21 years old, listening to 21 Pilots, I'm like, dude, it would be so cool if we can like play on stage one day together. Like, can you imagine that? And we literally would talk about it all the time, not doing anything with music.
Yeah.
And then I started taking piano lessons. Obviously, Scott was doing music, and then he's about to go on tour. And I'm like a year and a half. And he's like, hey, you want to play piano for me on tour? I'm like, fuck yeah. And so it was just like,
were you like, fuck yeah, but oh shit, I'm not good enough yet, I gotta hit the keys tonight.
I was like, oh shit, yeah, no, yeah, I'll do it, but I'm gonna have piano lessons like 3-4 times a week.
Yeah,
yeah,
like it was
like
fucking
boot camp to join that band because
you kicked it into high gear.
That's
playing all the time. And it was so cool, though, to see you like successfully transition, hit the stage, and play.
Yeah.
And not only just one song, because first it was just Scott doing shows at, like, you know, Playlist,
the Views tours,
VidCon doing, you know, Sad Song. And then now it's you like out there doing full on sets.
Yeah.
And it was so cool watching you guys do like your first show in LA and then seeing you come back after like a full on summer tour. And the confidence and skill and just stage presence.
Those were some of the most fun nights to hang out as a friend group of like the pre-show. We'd hang out. Then we'd be in the green room and like everyone's the energy is just so good. Then we get to watch the show. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, it's just like, oh my God, life is amazing.
Like this like dopamine, like this feeling. It was like an ecstasy type of feeling. Like it was great, like to have like that like party with your friends after the show.
Yeah, I'm glad I could like vicariously live the green room experience through you guys. And how was tour? I know you had a lot of crazy nights. and a lot of good times.
Favorite tour memory. Let's go.
What's your favorite tour memory? And then I have a tour memory question.
Okay.
And a bit of a story. I want to hear your
favorite tour memory besides playing the shows. I mean,
Didn't you guys get to go see like the Kooks in Dallas?
Yeah, like all the experience, like with the guys, like we saw the Kooks in Dallas
because they were also playing at the House of Blues.
House of Blues, yeah.
And you guys got to just like after you finish your set to go over and watch theirs. That's awesome.
And you also saw Phineas play on tour too. Phineas.
So we're in Boston. We get to Boston like a day early. We're playing. Phineas is playing that night. We get there the same room we're up. We're about to play, and we get tickets to Phineas' show, and it was so fucking cool, so beautiful. He's one guy on stage and he's fucking playing piano to guitar, singing, and he was so captivating. And he was so nice. Yeah. I was in the green room, and he's coming through before he was like about to go perform, like literally 20 seconds. And I would expect anybody just to walk by there focused. He walks by me, comes back. Yo, what up, dude? Good to see you. Thanks for coming. Goes back out.
What an absolute legend. I think
about Phineas probably like 8 times a day, maybe even more. Like it's like once an hour, I think. He's just such a brilliant person.
He's
a
stand up, honest, like talented person. It was so much fun. like that tour in a bus going to like 30 different cities. I get to watch Scott perform. And when Scott performs and he looks at me, and I'm playing piano, we're singing along to each other, and like we're like dead.
Locked in?
We're locked in, staring each other in the eyes. It's like the most romantic
thing ever. Yes, I've always said that when I'm listening to music. I bet it's the best when you're in a band and you look over at your bandmate and just give that nod.
Scott would come over to my piano, I'd be playing, and we'd be like singing along together, and he'd be like looking at me or like grabbing me or something. It was just so beautiful.
Like, this is it. We're literally living the dream right now in the best way possible.
Yeah. And you make your own music as well.
Yeah.
You've now put out, what, 3 songs?
I put out Natalina.
Natalina.
Acoustic, Past Life with Scott, my friend Nick Anderson from The Rex, who's brilliant. And I have this, my first thing that I put out is called Cork. It was like this poem that I turned into like a slam poetry thing.
Yes.
Some people hate it, some people love it, so it's like,
I'm a fan of it.
Thank you.
I like it.
Thanks, man.
Are you working on a new song right now?
Yeah, so I have a couple new songs that I'm working on.
Songs.
Plural. I actually have like...
Plural.
I've recorded 3 and I have one. So I'll start with the one that's not recorded completely. So I took a video of me playing piano, making like a bunch of weird noises. Matt is actually in the video and you can hear his voice. I send it to Bruce. I go to Bruce's house. He's like, dude, I love this. I'm going to pitch this up, cut it together, and warp it a little bit. And the sound is so beautiful. You can hear Matt clapping and talking in it. And Matt's voice, you can hear it faintly in the beginning, in the intro. So that's the song I'm really working on. I love it. It's kind of like a 1975 meets like the Drive soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have 2 other songs I recorded. I'm not really sure about them. I love the melodies. But then I have another song called Perfect Morning, which is all done, mixed, and mastered. And I'm just waiting on trying to figure out some artwork. And then I'm going to put that out in a couple weeks.
And on top of being an incredible musician and internet personality, you're also a fantastic writer and you've made a book. I'll give you $1 if you consider this art.
You are a published author in bookstores.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
And on Amazon.
It's insane.
On Bezos' site. It's fucking nuts. I don't believe it. It's so weird. Because I've been writing, these stories have existed for like 6-7 years. Like from before even Matt came up to me and told me he liked one of those stories. Like right before then, that's when I first started writing for this book, not knowing that it would be for this book, you know? And so like the name, I'll Give You $1 If You Consider This Art, it kind of feeds back to why I started writing these stories when Matt came up to me. It was just like, I was this kid searching for this validation. So this book is just like, please, it's begging people to read this and see this as art.
And you are able to produce something that's more than just a product of how you look.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so this, every story in there means a lot to me. It means a lot to Darren. It's like a piece of us, or like our soul is literally embedded in this book.
What was your favorite part about creating and publishing a book?
Probably going on the book tours and having me being the moderator.
You were doing that for a while.
Matt was a great moderator. I was so happy to have him there.
Oh, yeah. We went to Chicago and Miami. Yeah. And then we did one out here in Brentwood. Yes.
But with the book, there were so many journeys with this book. There was a journey of writing the book, when I didn't know it was going to be a book, which I didn't, it was just like a journey in itself. And then the journey when Darren and I decided like, hey, we have enough stories here to turn this into something. And then the next journey to finding someone and figuring out the process to publishing this book,
yeah,
finding that publisher and getting it published was this whole new chapter and journey in my life that was like very difficult. There was so many differences, like creative differences, even like a few between Darren and I on what like the book looked like, or we agree like a lot on a lot, but like with the publisher and then putting this thing out and promoting it. I'm not really one to promote anything like my merchandise. I don't promote that at all. And so I really had to like dig deep, which was easy for me because this book means the world to me and it was easy for me to promote. But at the same time, I'm like, fuck, am I promoting this right? Too much, too little? Like, what am I doing? And so we've had a really good response with people that have actually read the book. I actually, last week, Scott's neighbor, she got a hold of the book and she DM'd me a bunch of shit on Instagram. She expanded me. She's like, this story, I fucking love this so much. Oh my God, are you kidding me? I love this story. Thank you so much. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah, has this book, is like, it's the validation you were looking for.
This is the validation. Yeah, this is like the validation that I've been seeking.
And are you working on a second one?
Yes.
You are?
I've been working on a second one.
Are you going to tease any names? The
titles that you told me are really fucking sick. I love the new, have you heard the new
I'll
titles?
I'll give you $2 and you consider this.
No.
The titles.
The working titles.
The working titles. I can say one.
Or do you just want to give like acronym? An acronym and let the people... It's like the 1975. Yeah. It was like Music for Cars and we didn't really know what it was.
So the acronym for this title is hashtag TPOG.
T-P-O-G.
T-P-O-G. T-P-O-G.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. That's not the one that I was thinking of. It is.
The puppies... of Greater Texas.
Yeah. Wait, where's the tech? Okay, yeah.
T-Pog. Oh, wait. Oh, wait.
The puppies of Georgia.
Oh,
it could be.
We can do another rewind back to the past when you were on a reality show.
Uh-huh.
Sweet
Home Alabama.
Season 4.
With the long hair.
And Todd made it to the top 3. Yep. And Sweet Home Alabama is basically like The Bachelorette. But it's set in Alabama, a girl from Alabama, and all these guys from across the United States mm-hmm. competing for her, right?
Yes. It's like 10 guys from Alabama, 10 guys from different cities.
And you were on there with your long brown hair, yes. And you made it to the top 3,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How was that?
That was a really cool experience because, A, I made really good friends. One of my best friends, Emilio. Who we always see in New York.
Oh, I love Emilio. He has a restaurant. I love his restaurant.
Mm-hmm. That's how you met Emilio. Was on that show.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was my bunkmate. And dude, he made me like piss myself because he was so funny.
Yeah, he's so funny. Yeah, he's like, so New York.
Yeah,
he's such
very
a
New York.
Stud, man.
Yes,
he has that just, I don't know, that New York gusto and charm. Yeah. He is that guy.
Like where he's like not trying to be funny, but he's just fucking hilarious. I remember the night before I was the second date. The night before my date, I had no idea it was coming. We got hammered, so drunk in the house.
You and Emilio or everybody?
Everybody.
Okay.
But then Emilio had like, he had dip.
Like tobacco?
Did he make it down to the bottom 3?
No, he was like top 8.
Okay.
Yeah. So I dipped for the first time with Emilio. And I'm
chewing tobacco.
Chewing tobacco, yeah. Oof. And I'm puking my brains out.
Yeah, it's like Sandlot. Da, 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 da. Tequila.
Tequila. So I dipped. I started puking my brains out. And I go to sleep and I'm getting this nudge early in the morning, and I look at 7 a.m. like, hey, Todd, wake up. You have a date. I'm like, oh my God, you'd be kidding me. And so we drive like an hour to this date, and they're like, what kind of alcohol do you like to loosen you up before the date? I'm like, what the fuck?
At 8 in the morning?
They were very
early, yes.
And they were very encouraging about giving you alcohol.
Yeah.
Because I heard on The Bachelor, it's like 2 drinks max for 24 hours or something like that. Or every 12 hours.
I think it depends on the show.
Yeah. This is before the date. They wanted me like definitely like loosen up. And so they got me a Jameson ginger ale. And I'm like hungover this whole time. And we go to this beach. We talk. And I wakeboard a little bit. And then we sit on the beach some more. It's hot. I'm like hungover.
Does she know that you're hungover?
I don't know if she knew I was hungover. We talked a lot off camera. She was great. And I was the first kiss of the show.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
A question I think a lot of people have about those finding love reality shows. A lot of people probably doubt, oh, is this real? Are the feelings true? Was there a moment in your mind where you thought, I'm going to score with her, or I am in love with her? Did you have feelings, or were you kind of doubtful from the start?
So the first night, I remember we got pretty drunk and we're like all like hanging out and we meet her and I'm like, oh, I'm going to win this show.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to get the girl. And then after that, I actually started developing feelings because we had no phones. We had no outside accessibility. Like we were locked in the show for this one girl. And so think about that for like a week. You have nothing but this girl that you're concentrating on. You don't talk to friends or family. And especially after my first date, I got to know her. I started really liking her. And then I saw her going on date after date after date. And that really rubbed me the wrong way. But before our next date, we're all in the swamp. And we're on this airboat. We're in the swamp. And we're on this airboat. Just like, I sneak away with her. The cameras were there. I snuck away from her, and she's
it's like night vision goggles in the swamp. Y'all are like, just like trudging through the marshes. There's alligators swimming between your legs.
She's like, she pulls me aside. She's like, hey, like, and she was not supposed to do this. She's like, hey, I want to let you know, like, I really like you. You're my favorite. Like, I like you a lot. And I was like, holy shit, like, this is real. She just gave me like, what's the word I'm looking for?
She like stepped outside of the bounds of the show. She broke the fourth wall.
She said things to me that she didn't say to other guys. And like,
this sounds like the confessional from the show.
I know.
Yeah, right? She kind of said things to me that she didn't say to the other guys.
But no, she like would like kiss me like off camera. She would like tell me things. And like I was like, oh my God, like I really like her.
Were the producers pushing you guys to say or do things? Or do you think they were pushing her to do a narrative? Or was it really just let these people be loose in this house and see what happens?
Well, they were definitely pushing a narrative. Because when I got off the show, she told me that she didn't want, like, because it had to be a country guy that won, right?
It had to?
Yeah, pretty much. But actually, she's still with him, so God bless him.
Wow.
Yeah.
But at some point, though, you had to have been kind of crushed or your feelings were hurt because you were like, lost. But what about that one time with us in the swamp?
Exactly. So, like, it was weird. It was like a mixture of, like, I was crushed, but then I was relieved because Emilio left, and I cried when Emilio left.
Oh.
Because he's, like, my best friend in the show, and, so when I left, it was a mixture of me pretending that I was crushed, but then me being crushed at the same time.
Right.
You know, I was kind of like relieved. You can kind of
use some of that emotion to elevate it for the purposes of good television.
Yeah, I was surprised that she sent me home because we did have a connection.
Yeah. You know? I mean, but that does make sense that they would want to pick a country guy. They don't want some hot shot from Huntington Beach, what's the name of the show?
Sweet Home Alabama.
Sweet Home Alabama.
I mean, I wouldn't have stayed. Obviously, I wouldn't move to Alabama and commit and marry her.
No, that's what Matt did.
Matt is Sweet Home Alabama.
Truly.
But yeah, the show was a great experience. I would not take it back.
I want to watch it.
It's
on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime, yeah. It's so weird watching myself. It's like cringy, but like
what it's still available to watch.
Oh, yeah. I have it. Yeah, ooh. I bought it.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah, we do got to wrap it up because David's show is premiering tonight.
His Dodgeball Discovery show.
Yeah. Todd, is there anything else you would like to plug before we end the podcast?
I guess I can. I want to plug, but nothing is out yet. I have Clatterbanks episode 1 coming out sometime next week. I have my new book, #TPOG, coming out in the next... Or the other title coming out in 2021, probably. And then I have a new song called Perfect Morning coming out in a week and a half, probably.
So follow on Instagram.
You can follow me on Instagram at Todd Eric.
No underscore.
Underscore. Twitter, Todd Eric underscore.
Okay.
YouTube.
TikTok, Toddy Smith. YouTube, Toddy Smith.
You're everywhere.
I'm around, yeah.
Thanks for being here. I think this was like, I mean, we talk literally every single day all the time, but this is a cool way to like have a conversation with
you. This is a lot of fun. Yeah, thanks guys for having me.
I'm so proud of
Matt,
you.
Thank you for appreciating my stories like years and years ago. Like that, you don't know how erect I got.
It really does show the power of giving a compliment to somebody and putting out like, you get out of the world what you put back in.
I can't help it.
Yeah.
I mean what I say. And Todd, you're the real deal. Todd Smith, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming.
Love you.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.